And we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about what's going on in Haiti, because nobody else is. We're not being told about this in the mainstream media here that I'm aware of, but there are huge demonstrations that have happened. There have been people killed by the police in various centers. It's a nationwide, there are nationwide demonstrations. We're going to talk to Jean Saint-Ville, an activist in Ottawa who's been, who's Haitian, been there recently. It keeps in close contact there, and we'll try to give you some sites. One of them is Haitian Info Project. If you just write Haitian Info Project, that should come up. And they're doing, in my view, great work of keeping the world informed. And, of course, we're in this magic period where basically they put up the pictures so that you can see the demonstrations. People, you know, record these things on their phones, upload it or download it or shoot it to the others, and you can pick it up in a matter of hours. It's wonderful work because they're conflicting the mainstream story to the extent that it is being followed, is being downplayed. We'll get into that with Jean Saint-Ville. And then we're going to talk to Christopher Black. And Christopher Black is a well-known international lawyer. He writes on the matters to do with particularly struggles of people, populations against imperialism and for independence. he has defended accused at the International Criminal Tribunals of both Yugoslavia and Rwanda. Those were what they called ad hoc, which is embarrassing to say that there is such a thing as ad hoc tribunals. It's kind of a road show. But Chris distinguished himself in trying to establish the truth. So we'll be talking to him because he is going to be a speaker, Phil, at a Peace Congress. What is that?
Yes, the Canadian Peace Congress Convention this weekend, November 24th, 25th. $10. There you go for a two-day session. Saturday the 24th at 25 Cecil Street, the Steelworkers Hall, 9 o'clock in the morning till 4. And Sunday at the GCDO Hall, 290 Danforth Avenue, 9:30 in the morning. And, yes, Chris Black is one of the featured speakers.
And Eva Bartlett.
Eva Bartlett is going to be there. So those are the two highlights.
All right, read us the names again.
Okay. Canadian Peace Congress, November 24th and 25th, general admission $10, all sessions open to the public. Saturday the 24th at 9 a.m. until 4 at the Steelworkers Hall, 25 Cecil Street, addressing the growing war danger. Sunday the 25th, 9:30 a.m., the GCDO Hall at 290 Danforth Avenue, Building the Peace Conference, plenary session, adoption of a peace program for Canada elections and special resolutions. And Christopher Black, Eva Bartlett, Tamara Lojinks, and Grand Chief Stuart Phillips, an Okanagan Aboriginal leader and the Grand Chief of the Union of BC Indian Chiefs.
There's two more there.
I'm giving you some of the names, and that's
– Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So that's going to be this weekend.
That's this weekend.
Well, it's timely, I got to say.
Peace, yes. Peace is timely and not much talked about.
Not at all, actually. and the timing couldn't be better. And I think we have Chris Black on the line. Are you there, Chris?
Yes. Hi, Phil. How are you doing?
Good. Well, thanks an awful lot. Now, we were just noting here, you're speaking this weekend at the Canadian Peace Congress. So, of course, we want to know what your themes are going to be. I could point out we're seeing this trip around Asia, the Vice President Pence has gone out of his way to insult China directly. By the way, he initiated that. The way the Globe is reporting, he's had words with the leader of China, but actually right. Pence is the aggressor.
Yeah.
And then he went out of his way to put on a glaring face, because apparently at the sidelines of this meeting he met Putin. I hate to say it, but ordinary people, you know, just they do tend to go by, well, you know, are they getting along or not getting along? It doesn't look like they're getting along. So, what would be the theme you intend to strike in your remarks?
Well, as I said in my email, I'm still formulating what I can say because I only have a small amount of time, and mm-hmm. there's many things to be said, but I guess I would I'm going to say that three things. First, the use of what they call the responsibility to protect, or the new white man's burden mm-hmm. to justify all their actions. All their actions are based on somebody's being bad and we got to beat them up or stop them from doing what's bad. Mm-hmm. It's our burden to do that. We're the civilized. We're going to deal with the barbarous, uncivilized peoples we need to dominate.
Mm-hmm.
So that has to be... There's a lot of people actually think there is a responsibility to protect. That has a legal doctrine, and it isn't. It's totally bogus and fake. And all these humanitarian interventionists who rely on this doctrine are relying on, actually, illegality. The second thing would be the use of sanctions, or what they call sanctions, really economic warfare,
mm-hmm.
As a form of warfare, really, to pressure countries to do their bidding or their obey their will. And the third would be, I guess, nuclear disarmament, that without nuclear disarmament, we can't have a chance of getting peace, because if uh-huh. powerful nations have powerful weapons, they have no need to seek peaceful resolution of their issues with other nations.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then finally, I guess maybe that we can't really have a peaceful world unless there's some balance of power in the world, where there's mm-hmm. an equality of real equality of nations, where there's no nations able to push other ones around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a matter of power politics, I suppose.
Yeah. We're speaking to Christopher Black. He's going to be at the Canadian Peace Congress, and that is going to be November 24 and 25. And all sessions are open to the public, and that's going to be at the Steelworkers Hall on November the 24th. By the way, do you know which – are you speaking on 24th, 25th? Do you know?
We're all speaking on the 24th. Mm-hmm. I think Eva Bartlett's going to be there, and some Miguel Figueroa, some other people.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be speaking in, I think, around 1:15 p.m.
Uh-huh.
But we only have – I think 10 to 15 minutes to speak each, because we have limited time at the hall.
Uh-huh.
And the next day is a series of sessions about organizing the anti-war uh-huh. movement, the peace movement.
And that's going to be...
Canadian yeah. Peace Congress can take a role in that.
Yeah, that's beginning at 9:30, and that's going to be at 290
right.
Danforth Avenue, building the Peace Congress and plenary sessions. And mm-hmm. they're going to adopt a peace program. I hope, by the way, they include your elements. I think the one you listed, you and I have, of course, worked together on this with Charles Roach, Ramsey Clark, and mm-hmm. others. This has really been an insidious, dirty device,
yeah.
this so-called responsibility to protect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really bizarre that Canada involves itself as though it's a player. We all understand
right.
it. That the lift, as General Dallaire liked to call it, the lift and the power has to come from Washington, basically, and NATO. So Canada says, "Oh, we think we should go in and protect," and then people say yes, and then the U.S. Air Force and U.S. Navy show up.
Right, and there's a conference, I think, in Halifax just last weekend or this week. I can't remember which. It's so the groups for it, and I went on the website, the Halifax Conference, where Canada is hosting an international meeting of NATO, basically, mm-hmm. but including their corporate sponsors like Boeing and Raytheon and people like that. And so we have our Canadian defense minister sitting there hosting these American corporations and all these American officers and all the other NATO hacks,
mm-hmm.
justifying their planned aggressions against China and Russia and Syria and everybody else.
Yeah.
It's disgusting and shameful that Canada, which claims to be an upholder of international law, is one of the prime movers, movers in helping the United States disobey or break international law.
I always think of that title, Peacemaker or Powder Monkey, the answer being Powder Monkey,
a book about
Canadian foreign policy.
Basically, yeah. Where you're using Canadian taxpayers are paying money to the government to use our Canadian Armed Forces as auxiliary forces to the Imperial American forces.
Yeah.
For American interests, not for Canadian interests.
Yeah. And it's turned into such weird window dressing. They said in order to show that we're ready to play a kind of new role, they went to Mali. They're already talking about leaving Mali, and literally nothing changed except that they came and left.
Yeah.
And Mali's a mess.
Yes. And And the whole thing going on with France and Russia in, I think, Mali now as well. There's a lot of things going on with the government in Mali about why Canada may be leaving. But you're right. Canada goes off tooting its horn everywhere and gets involved in many places, Ukraine and Haiti. But the results are always negative.
Yeah. By the way, we're going to be – I don't know if you've been following, but we just later in the show we're going to talk to Jean Saint-Ville about Haiti. Right now, I mean, Canada played a very heavy part in the removal of Aristide.
Yes.
And that place has been a nightmare. And now they're not reporting it, but apparently the widespread demonstrations and riots, as they use that word, in Haiti.
Right. And, yeah, Canada had our J2F2 special forces were used to help the American Marines put a gun to Aristide's head and Shanghai him or kidnap him and take him to Africa.
Yeah.
And we did that in the promotion of, I don't know what, they highly justified that. Well, they tried to keep that secret, but
yeah. Well, that's
what Canada does.
That comes under R2P. Now, Chris, on this matter, what about, here's another issue the Canadians, I would think, should be addressing. The U.S. is tearing up treaties right and left. Mm. So-called international norms, to quote Lavrov, are just ignored.
Right.
The nuclear bill, you mentioned nuclear. Now, think about it. You must be thinking about the consequences of this idea, the intermediate range agreement. The U.S. says, well, we're going to just get rid of that. So bad things happen, right?
Right. And I think it's clear why they want to do it. I mean, their new strategy for 2018, their military strategy, says that they have a nuclear first strike policy and that they have the right to use nuclear weapons on the battlefield anytime they feel like it. Anytime they determine it's necessary, they are going to use them.
And they are the only power that says that, right?
I mean, they're the only one that says that,
yeah.
Which makes everybody else nervous and on the hair trigger, China and Russia especially.
Yeah.
But by leaving that treaty, the Russians and the Chinese, of course, are very anxious that the result of that is that they're going to place their nuclear-tipped cruise missiles inside Poland and Lithuania and Latvia and everywhere else close to the Russian borders, which so they have less time to intercept them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the purpose of it. And they can do that immediately.
Yes.
They can do that tomorrow if they haven't already done it. So that's just an excuse to further pressure Russia and put it under threat.
Yeah. And again, a further symptom we're seeing is that the UN went through its list of resolutions, as they often do at the General Assembly, and Russia put the resolution saying that there should be no promotion, a glorification of Nazism, that should be – all countries should condemn it. And the United States and Ukraine voted against that. By the way, everybody else – as far as I know, everybody else voted for that. Maybe Canada abstained. I don't know. I don't know if they didn't.
Yeah.
I missed the meeting, but my understanding is that it was basically the U.S. and Ukraine.
Yeah, because Ukraine has quite distinct Nazi, outright Nazi elements within its government, and it's these armed militias it tolerates and funds, apart from its own regular army, which are used to attack the Donbass republics and frighten people within Ukraine proper.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so... Yeah, so they're in violation of the law and also the Nuremberg principles and everything since World War II. They're actually promoting Nazis in governments, which is to their benefit.
You of course, your last point on what should be done, and you'll be advocating at this meeting of the Against Imperialism, Militarism, and War, the Canadian Peace Congress Convention, at Saturday, November 24, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Steelworkers Hall, 25 Cecil Street. Disarmament. Now, by the way, this matter came up, and again, Canada has begun to waver or act strange. Wasn't it about a year ago at the UN where there was a resolution about, you know, working towards nuclear disarmament, and some countries initiated it. And Canada's position was, we're not in favor of that because we are under the U.S. nuclear umbrella.
Right. I think it's got to do with the treaty against nuclear weapons or to ban nuclear weapons outright, which many nations have sponsored and signed on to, but all the nuclear powers have said have not. Mm-hmm. Although North Korea, the DPRK, was the sole exception, was the sole nuclear power to vote for the resolution for this treaty. And as you, we've seen, North Korea is the only nation which has said, if we can have peace, we're willing to disarm tomorrow.
Yeah.
But they're not allowed any peace, so they don't. And yeah. then they're blamed for it
yes.
and sanctioned because of it.
Yes.
And, but, yeah.
You know, I'm really glad you pointed that out. By the way, my memory is that they actually did some strange maneuver at the UN that caused those who wanted to discuss the matter to meet outside UN property.
There's some game going on.
It's a muscle job they pulled. And, well, lastly, on you raised the matter of North Korea. By the way, you have visited North Korea. You've actually been there. Very few people in your shoes can actually say that they've done it, seen it. They're making today's Globe and Mail and other papers are think it's very horrendous development that the president of China says that he's thinking of going to visit North Korea.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
well, they are neighbors. I mean, you've been in a region. I think they have
a
border.
Very close relationship. Yes. And when I was there, there were lots of Chinese tourists in North Korea. Lots. Well, so it was a constant flow back and forth across the border. And also we saw people from the south, by the way. But they're outraged that somebody's going to speak to the North Koreans, even though the South Korean government seems to be, President Moon seems to be quite progressive on this and is trying to establish peace with North Korea on his own terms and trying to evade the United States somehow, which the United States doesn't like.
Yeah.
So there's a very strange thing. There's actually something very interesting going on between the two regions of Korea, North and South, to unite the country once again somehow. I think.
Well, yes, when you were there, there was a complete hostility and the daily propaganda broadcast and noise and military exercises. And actually, I think we've finally gone maybe 12 months without this heavy U.S. Exercise, which is involved flying directly toward the North Korean border at low altitudes with planes that might or might not have nuclear weapons.
Right.
I mean, that's off the table. But I guess they're worried they thought they operate like a monopoly, that if Trump meets what's his name? I can't say his name.
Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un. I keep wanting to say his father's name.
Kim Jong-un. Yeah.
So then it's supposed to be he joins us. He has to be part of our monopoly. He shouldn't talk to China anymore. If he's, you know, the president of the United States can visit him, but it'd be bad for the president of China to visit him.
Yeah, they feel that you can see the United States is starting to lose control. They're used to controlling almost everything, but now they sense that you can see them that they're losing touch. Things are escaping them, their control, and makes them very anxious. And it can make them very, very angry because they can react.
And should make the rest of us a little anxious. Yeah, you don't want to see them sort of acting like Lear, where they think, wow, losing the narrative, as it were. I mean, that's certainly a view I would take on the Middle East, for example. They didn't get what they said they were going to get. They were going to remove the government of Syria, and all they did was crack a few teeth and bones of their own.
Same in Ukraine. They hoped that when they threw over the governor of Yushchenko, that put Poroshenko in, they hoped that they were going to take control of all of Ukraine and put their field units right up to their Russian borders and take the Russian base.
They were going to take Crimea and turn it into a U.S. naval base was the goal.
Right, but they failed. Yeah. And they've been totally frustrated in their main objective. And that's causing them a lot of problems.
Yeah, they're like the boxer who gets hit very hard and smiles and pretends he wasn't hurt, and you realize that guy's about to drop.
Yeah, he's reeling and trying to stay on his feet.
I'm doing fine. I'm doing great. Maybe that's why they have Trump, because everything's always going great with him, terrific, putting his thumb up. And, of course, meanwhile, he's getting battered around the ring.
That's a thought which is quite possible, that Trump is the fall guy for the
operation.
the weakening of the United States. They're going to blame everything on him.
Yep.
As they did with Vietnam, that they were stabbed in the back, the old World War German thing, that they were stabbed in the back.
Every time
lack of support at home. And
every time the reactionaries lose, they were stabbed in the back.
Right. And we had a bad president, a weak president, a stupid yeah. president, whatever you want to call him.
Exactly. Well, Chris, it's great. I'm glad you're giving this talk. I'm glad they're having this Canadian Peace Congress, and it's going to be November 24 and 25, Saturday the 24th, 9 a.m. You, Chris Black, may be speaking. We're estimating 1:15 just for the—
Right, and Eva Bartlett, I'm not sure she's before me, maybe in the morning if people want to catch her. So that's
Eva Bartlett, you want to catch her because she travels so much, you never know. What,
yes.
You know, I say, where is she? And my gosh, she's all over the kingdom come.
She's got a lot to say about Syria, but I recommend people come out. So we're trying to get something going with the peace movement in Canada. So
Peace Congress, it's going to be at Steelworkers Hall, 25 Cecil Street, and then 290 Danforth Avenue, 9:30 to 5 p.m. Chris, it's great talking to you. There's a lot of stuff to go into. You take it easy. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's Chris Black. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM.